Grace to you and peace in the name of our newborn Savior, Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, when it comes right down to it, which trapping of the holiday is the one that we really just can't do without? I think we can lay aside the to-do list. We can skip the greeting cards. We can get by without the songs. We could forgo the gifts and even ignore all the lights. But we got to have a tree. Be that an artificial tree, a real tree, a small plant that we decorate and call a tree, or even an absolutely pathetic facsimile to a tree, as in the case of Charlie Brown. But one way or another, if we're going to celebrate Christmas, we have to remember the tree. Some of my fondest memories of Christmas as a child revolve around a Christmas tree. As a young boy, I remember going with my dad to the nearby town to the lumber yard, and that's where we'd buy the tree at the lumber yard. We'd pick it out and bring it home. As we moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana, they had a tree farm in the area, and we would go out together to the tree farm and, you know, go up and down the rows and finally find the right tree and cut it down and bring it home. But I always remember cutting down was always difficult, not because the tree was hard to cut down, but for some reason, when they're in their roots, they always seem to stand more straight than when you cut it down and it's in the stand. We could never find to get one with a straight, you know, way it should, and that was always difficult for us. So I think we did better when we went to the lumber yard. I remember the daily chore of watering the tree and having to remember to unplug the tree before I went to bed or left the house. I remember the family event of decorating the tree with the lights and the ornaments, helping Dad wind them around and then everybody get a chance to put their ornaments on. I remember how beautiful the tree looked in the living room when we turn off all the other lights and just have the lights of the tree on, and how even more beautiful the tree looked on Christmas morning with presents under the tree. And finally, I remember, not so fondly, the taking down of the tree and having to pick up all the needles that had fallen off and got stuck in the carpet. And every year getting my finger poked and always bleeding a little bit because those needles were so sharp. And then I remember how small and lifeless and unimpressive that tree looked out by the curb, laying there on its side with no lights or ornaments and just a few straggles of tinsel still on it. I remember a lot of things about the trees of my childhood at Christmas. But I don't think I ever understood the importance of a tree at Christmas until I read the words of our text this morning that we had on the screen a few moments ago when I read them as an adult. I'd like to read one more time from 1 Peter 2. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. The reason that Christmas is not complete without a tree is not because a spruce or a fir or a pine is essential to our celebration or recognition of Christ's birth, but because the tree of the cross is. For you see, without the cross, there is no significance in the birth of Jesus. His role as Savior of the world, and the angels' proclamation of good news for all people and peace to the earth. Those things rise and fall upon the branches of the cross. Take away that tree, and you take away our celebration of Christmas. For if Jesus had not suffered and died on the tree of the cross, our sins would not be forgiven. And we would have nothing to celebrate or to rejoice in or to be thankful for this morning. But it's because He died and He rose that His birth then takes on meaning. And our lives are then filled with forgiveness and joy and hope. Take away the tree, and you take away the purpose of Christmas. And I don't mean just take away the tree of the cross. There's another tree too. It was the tree in the center of the Garden of Eden. Tree known as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, had Adam and Eve not eaten from that tree and thus cast the world into sin, there would have been no need for the tree of the cross where Christ laid down His life to redeem us. And thus, there would be no need for a Christmas tree, for there would be no need for the birth of a Christ. And so, like I said at the beginning of the message, we can do without a lot of the trappings of the holiday. The lists and the cards and the gifts and the lights and such. But we can't do without a tree. Without the tree, not the Christmas tree, but the cross tree, there's nothing for us to celebrate. All that we are, all that we have, all that we hope for, all that we will ever be depends upon the tree, stained with the blood of our Savior Jesus, the Savior who was this day born to us and laid in a manger. As we pick out and put up and decorate and admire and take down our Christmas tree each year, may those trees always remind us of the one tree that surpasses and inspires and creates the meaning for all of the rest of them. That tree, which is the cross of Jesus. In His name and for His sake, to the glory of God, amen.